The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on pgatour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you. Wednesday, October the 23rd, we're coming to you. And we'll talk today about the PGA Tour, which continues the far, far West Coast, if you will, swing, as they're getting ready for the brand new Zozo Championship in Japan, just outside of Tokyo in Chiba, Japan. Tiger Woods making his new season, if you will, debut at that tournament. Rory McIlroy's there, too. A lot of top golfers are going to be playing in that, so we'll talk a little bit about that. We also have our good friend Paul Stankowski with PGA Tour Radio joining us as well to tell us what's up with him, what's going on, and what his next gig is going to be. As we all recall, Paul not only working with PGA Tour Radio and other media outlets, but also getting ready for that 50th birthday that's just around the corner, kind of get an update on Stanky and his health and how everything's going for him. His diet, we're always talking about his diet and how that's working for him. And as always, Frank Bassett in our Nashville studios. Well, not always. Always Frank Bassett, but not always the Nashville studios. He's been on the road a lot, but finally back home. Frank, how are you doing today?
I had to come back home. I ran out of money. So doing good. Doing good, Tim. It's good to be home. It's good to be back in Nashville for a little bit.
Sure.
Had an event Monday that we were doing, the Ray Stevens annual charity tournament that we had to cancel because of the storms that had come through Dallas, which we'll talk about in a minute, with Paul, hit us too. And we had some pretty bad storms here in Nashville, so I had to cancel that tournament. It will be upcoming. But the previous night, Ray was inaugurated into the Country Music Hall of Fame with Brooks and Dunn and another fella, I can't seem to remember his name, that was a big producer. But that was a great event Sunday night. Black Tie, really a lot of fun. And congratulations to our friend Ray Stevens here in Nashville for getting into that very prestigious Hall of Fame. Pretty cool stuff. But it's good to be home.
And you're back on the road because you're at the Senior LPGA Championship last week in French Lick, Indiana?
Yeah, I was. It was the Pete Dye course there. It was great. But boy, I'll tell you,
I saw some of it on Golf Channel. It looked very competitive, but also really chilly.
Well, it was the weather flipped the last day, and it got really cold. It was really 47 degrees or so, and the wind was howling up on top of Mount Airy, which is the said to be the highest point in the state of Indiana. I mean, there's debate on that.
Said to be. Brendan Sweeney says that, but yeah,
deep in the heart of the Hoosier National Forest. But yeah, Sweeney does say that. It's French Lick Resort. Yeah, we were all there, though. It was great. All the gals. It's a fun tournament. You're up close and personal. Lieselette Neumann, who is a Solheim Cup captain and winner. Rosie Jones, Solheim Cup captain and winner, was there. And just had a lot of fun with the gals, man. It was a blast.
Good.
Helen Alfredson won it, by the way, I should say. Helen Alfredson. And then we had a big party that night after the tournament. And Helen got out there, and if you check it out, go to French Lick on YouTube. You could see Helen dancing. It's classic. Trust me.
Nice. Well,
classic.
She should be excited. It's a big win.
$100,000. $100,000. Big ticket.
The PGA Tour Champions is of course in full swing and has been for years and years. And it's a good entree for our good friend Paul Stankowski to join us now with PGA Tour Radio. And Stanky's also
PGA Tour
looking
winner.
Forward to his day for the PGA Tour Champions and right around the corner for him. Good morning, Paul. How you doing today?
Good morning, fellas. Man, I'm doing great. It's a great day here in Dallas. I'm getting ready to go play a little golf. It's chilly. I like it. It's a good day.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful day today. Sun will be shining. Perfect weather. I love October in Dallas. It'll probably be, it's supposed to be pretty warm today, I think, Paul. It's going to be pushing 80, they said, but it'll be perfect for you to be playing. You're playing the new Texas Rangers have kind of redone a golf course. And so now you're going to got a baseball team that owns a golf course. Not sure how that works. But you're going to be playing there. So I'm curious, let me know how that plays for you and what kind of course that is. Because it used to be an old course in Arlington, not too far from where the Rangers and the Cowboys play in Arlington, Texas. But it kind of fixed it up and made it look really nice. So I'll be interested to hear what you think about that.
I've heard all about it.
Shaped like a diamond.
I never played it back in the day when it was Ditto, I think is what they called it.
Ditto.
And
Ditto.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm a Texas Rangers fan, second to my Dodgers, but so it'd be fun to see some of the memorabilia and all those World Series. Wait, that's right. They don't have one. So it'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. I got a couple good buddies that we're playing with that I haven't played with in a while. So that's what the fun about golf is for me these days anyway, is, you know, the guys you play with versus where you play. Yeah. And so I'm looking forward to a fun day on the golf course.
How is your health, and how is the plan for the PGA Tour Champions coming for you?
You know, it's coming. I feel good. You know, this is the one birthday you get, guys, in sports, I think, maybe even in life. I'm sure it's in life, that you instantly get younger. And so I go from being old and really short to being young and very average. So I can't wait.
and a rookie. You'll become a rookie again, I believe, right?
I know. Yeah. Well, I'm hoping to rookie. Be. Yeah. I have to go through the qualifying process, because for people who follow golf, they understand that PGA Tour Champions is the toughest place to find a job. So I go right to the finals, thankfully, of the qualifying tournament. And there'll be 78 players and 5 spots playing for.
Yeah, it's tough.
And
when is that?
Off. They play off, too. I talked to Craig Bowden, who's for the last 5 or 6 years has been working in the golf industry. He's a former player, played the tour, played Korn Ferry Tour for many years. And he tried. He got in a playoff. Lost the tournament by 2 shots, lost the playoff, and gets nothing.
So there are no ties in that. Say
there are no ties. Okay. There are plenty of ties, but they don't take them.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, yeah.
Five guys.
So five guys.
It'll be fun.
And when is it?
Where is it going to be?
It is at TPC Champions, which is the course across the street from where they play the Phoenix Open, the Waste Management Phoenix Open in Scottsdale, and the Champions course. And it's December 3rd through the 6th. So yeah, I turned 50 on December 2nd, and I start my 50s in one of the, you know, proverbial toughest weeks of golf a golfer can have is Q School. So,
and what's it going to take? It's how many rounds of golf?
It's only 4 rounds for the old guys. And
and what do you think it's going to take score wise?
Well, 2 years ago, last year they did it at TPC Tampa Bay, and I think 4 under par won. 2 under, I think, played off. But at TPC Champions or Scottsdale 2 years ago, I think it was 19 under par 1 and 17 under played off. So can you imagine four 68s?
No.
And not even making it, not even getting in a playoff. It's going to be a tough one. But you know what? I don't care. I've done my due diligence. I've worked really hard now the last year and a half. Going on 2 years of getting my body back in shape, getting my, golf to feel like golf again. Cause that's the thing. I took August 1 of 2013, I shut it down, and, through 14 and 15 and 16, I wasn't even a part-time golfer. I probably spent on average 40 days a year in golf shoes. So that wasn't even playing rounds of golf. That was either hitting balls, hitting a bucket of balls or whatever. But, so golf felt very strange. But now it's starting to feel normal again. I've gained a few of the yards back that I've lost, but I'm still really short comparatively speaking to where I was when I played. But you know, all in all, it feels pretty good. So I'm getting the ball to shape properly, and now it's about going and executing. So I want to get nervous again, and I'm getting really bored of practicing. So I can't wait for November. I got a couple events lined up. I got a pro scratch in San Luis Obispo with a good buddy of mine that I play every year. And then I'm playing in the TaylorMade at Pebble Beach the week before Thanksgiving. So a couple of really good tune-ups before I head to Phoenix.
And who would be some of your competition when you get to Phoenix? Who's going to be some of the name guys that are going to be there same as you?
You know, I haven't seen a list yet of players committed to the, but it's most of the people that you have heard of. I mean, if you go through the list when it's out, you got to figure, you know, if you don't finish in the top 36 on the Champions Tour on the Schwab Cup points list, and you're not a multiple major winner or a multiple major winner or multiple, you know, at least a five-time Tour winner, you're, you know, and you're not in the top 11 in career money, you're going to be there. And so it's, yeah. It would have been guys like, you know, like you think of last year who made it or 2 years ago there, like Tommy Tolles. And, but it's full of guys who in the last 2 years, we've had a bunch of guys turn 50 and, I'm not exactly sure who's there. But when we do see it, I know Tommy Tolles is finished second, so I don't think he'll be there, which is awesome. That's one less guy we got to deal with. Doug Barron, who didn't have any status.
Get him out of
there. You know, he goes and he went off and Monday qualified and won in New York. So, you know, he's got a card and that's one other less guy that's going to be there. So it's a hard deal. There's a bunch of guys that you're going to see probably. I bet you if there's 78 players, there'll be probably at least 200 wins, maybe 400 PGA Tour wins there.
Wow.
Combined. Yeah. It's a tough deal. So it's a revolving door of good players. So,
and you we'll just see. Made it by 2 days, your birthday to being able to play
if,
this?
If you turn 50, I believe it's prior to July 1 of the next year, you can go through Q school. Maybe it's even June 1, but it's somewhere about mid year. So there'll be some guys who are 49 years old going through, but if they make they obviously can't start until they turn 50. I know. I wish they had to play the tees further back or something. If you're under 50.
49-year-old, you got to go back there.
I'm playing in the TaylorMade the week before Thanksgiving. So literally 10 days before my birthday. And the field's going to be full of Champions Tour players and they get to move up a tee box. And I'm going to be 2 weeks from 50 and I got to play back, you know, 20 yards behind them and they all hit it farther than me anyway. And I'm like, come on, there needs to be some sort of a, like I'm signed up for the old guy tour, you know? So anyway, but it is what it is.
Hey, we're joined by Paul Stankowski, PGA Tour Radio, and soon to be, we're hoping, member of the PGA Tour Champions Tour, and let us know how that's going to work out for you said, by the way, and Frank and I are curious about this. We're both a little bit older than you, but you're saying that you've lost your yardage and what it is compared to other guys that are 50 and guys on the Champions Tour. So what do you hit a drive now? I'd be curious. I think a lot of listeners would be curious for a former but soon-to-be 50-year-old tour player. What did you used to hit at your peak? And that was, I know, a while back in different technologies and things. What did you used to hit the ball on your drive, and what are you doing now?
Well, that's the funny thing. So my ball speed back in the day, late 90s, early 2000s, was mid to high 160s. So 165 to 170 ball speed. My ball speed now is mid 150s. And that's with new technology, which baffles my mind. But I'm literally 10 miles an hour ball speed shorter now than I was 25 years ago. With technology. And so if I went back and hit the, although you know what, I was for a while playing an old ERC Fusion, just 6 months ago, because I was it was like 1 mile an hour faster than the new stuff. So it actually was going faster, but I could only hit it about 6 feet in the air. Cause it was a 7.5 degree shimmed to 5.5. and I used to hang back a little bit apparently. And now I'm kind of trapping, covering it, my driver. So, I mean, I literally could hit it through your legs if you were standing 50 yards ahead of me. So it wasn't ideal.
That'd be a no.
It was coming off hot, but I was, you know, it was flying 100 yards and running, you know, 200. But anyway, I'm about 155 to 158 ball speed. So I don't know how far that equates to. I'm still learning the names of these machines that you can use to test your equipment. Let alone how to use them. But I do know ball speed and swing speed. That means I'm probably about 105 or something, 107. Yeah. I don't even know.
Isn't it weird though? Because don't you feel like you're still swinging as hard as you probably swung 15, 20 years ago? I mean, don't you feel?
Yes, I feel like when I think effort,
I'm swinging hard, and then you look at the number and you're like, well, that's not very fast. But you think you're coming out of your shoes.
Yep. Now I am coming out of my shoes, and I do feel like I'm – like the amount of effort I'm exerting trying to hit a golf ball is a lot. And I don't ever remember having that feeling before. I think I had much more fluidity going on. But you know what? It is what it is, and it goes where it goes, and you hit it and you find it, and hope you don't hit it very often. You know.
Hey Frank, how far do the guys on the PGA Tour Champions hit drives? Are they in the 260, 280 range ish?
Average 287 to 295, right in there, I think. Oh, and then of course the big boy. Oh well, that's average, but I think some of the big boys are three plus really well. So
because some of the technology today,
Scotty moves it out there big time. Hell, so does Jimenez. People joke about Jimenez, though, Tim and Paul. But Jimenez,
he just won.
He did. He won the congratulations on Monday finish. Yeah, I mean, he still tags the ball. And they kid about him smoking cigars and drinking wine and his crazy warm-ups and all that. The guy's in the gym all the time, too. Bernhard Langer validated that yesterday in an interview.
And he's in his 60s now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Jimenez?
Yeah.
Yeah, early 60s. So I think today's technology has been an equalizer for some of these guys that thought they'd lost some, certainly, speed and everything else. But with new heads and new shafts and all that kind of stuff, they think that they're hitting the ball pretty close to where they hit it 25 years ago.
This is going to show some ignorance here, but I'm willing to do it because I'll get found out anyway.
Take one for the team.
Swing speed is measured at what point? In the shaft? At the club head? Where is swing speed measured, Paul?
Wow. I see it. Dude, I don't know. No idea, Frank.
I don't either. Tim, do you?
Swing speed has got to be through impact.
I would think it's through impact. So if you're lagging more.
They do it by a machine.
Because that's where the laser is, right? I mean, the laser's right there at impact.
It sees how fast the club goes through the.
So it's the club head through the ball.
Swing zone. Yeah.
Correct. And then they have ball speed when they measure the ball leaving the club. They can see how fast it's going.
Right. We probably need to get the boys from ShotLink or TrackMan or flight scope or whatever on to talk about that.
We need the intel. We need the intel.
We do.
Paul.
I'd really like to know.
That's
that.
A great idea. You know what? I'm sure you guys could figure out a way to get somebody like that on your show.
Maybe.
We could do that.
We might be. Hey, Tim, what's your swing speed? What's your ball speed? What's your swing speed?
I don't. I do know my swing speed is about between 105 and 110.
Well, it's up there.
Last time I measured it. Yeah. And my. My ball speed is 140-something, I think, 150-ish, somewhere in there, maybe. I know it's not measured against.
I got an idea for you guys.
And you still can't break 80?
Yeah. I'm kidding.
Well,
I'm kidding.
I got an idea for you guys. Why don't you, at the PGA Tour or the PGA merchandise show in January, set your booth up again and invite some of those guys over to talk about that.
I think we will.
Make your listeners. It's like the big tease. Make your listeners wait until January. to learn
hope we're
about
still in the air.
FlightScope, TrackMan, whatever. And then have different people on and see if their machines are the same. That'd be kind of cool.
You know what was humbling? I did a swing speed one time with Art Selinger at one of the long drive events. They had the machines and stuff set up right there. And he had some of his competitors. Those guys, I mean, talk about humbling anybody. And they would their swing speed would be 140s. Their swing speed, 145.
Ball speed is
close to 150. Ball speed, 220.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's just crazy.
225. Yeah, it's just crazy. So then you'd get up there and you'd do yours at 108 miles an hour, and you'd be like, okay, I mean, can I even hit a piece of paper?
Is there a county line rule? County line rule if they hit it offline? So what county line did you go to?
So you talk about even, and you watch the guys on tour, Paul, and you watch, you know, Rory and Jason Day, all these guys that swing out of their shoes, everybody on tour kind of does. And they're at 120s, 122, and they're swinging as hard as they can. And imagine how these long drive guys can get 25 mile per hour swings faster than that. It just blows me away. I mean, how can you go any faster than those guys are swinging?
A guy like Rory and Jason Day, those guys, while they do swing fast out on the PGA Tour, there's an element to trying to make sure they find the planet where you know, in the long drive deal, you have one ball. All you got to do is get
Jupiter.
In the grid. So they're definitely, I think Rory and DJ and Bubba, I think those guys do have a little more in the tank, but not. It started 10 years ago. Sedlowski was at Kapalua for the whatever the tournament champions was named at the time. I'd get in trouble for just saying that because I should know what the title is. But anyway, and he had Bubba and I forget who else. There were four of them hitting with them on 18, and he, I think he flew them. You know, they were, he probably flew at 420 or whatever it was. But so while those guys can generate a lot of club head speed, it's a different ball game for these long drive guys, because that's, you know, they're training to swing as hard as they and as fast as they possibly can. Whereas the tour guy, I mean, obviously Rory takes a lash, but it's in balance and
perfect.
You know, if he
perfectly
if he wanted to hit it, he could probably hit it 30 yards further, maybe. Maybe 40, but okay. So now you got, you know, he's still not close to that dude with long hair, whatever his name is. Mile
Fabio, who won it this year.
I don't know. Yeah, whatever his name is, that dude, and he's got a good golf swing, but it's violent.
Yeah.
I'd hate to beat his low back.
It's the life of a NFL offensive or defensive lineman is about the same life as a long drive champion, right? I mean, just you can't do your body that way that often.
Yeah,
right. No, you're right.
I mean, it's not and it's not made to have that kind of torque.
No, not at all.
No. And the difference too is the competition, Paul.
Wait a minute, guys. Wait.
I said the difference. The difference too is.
Go ahead, Tim. Frank. I'm sorry. Well, what I was going to say is, I wanted to roll back to the guy Fabio who won the long drive championship. He was using a regular shaft. It was not stiff.
Serious?
It wasn't X-tipped. It wasn't anything. It was a regular shaft. I don't know how many grams it was, but it was a regular flex.
How can you not be breaking every club on every swing?
Well, it's all about the position of the club face at impact. So,
well, but exactly right. That's what Selinger will tell you that all day long, that it's still about, which is to your point, Paul, that for people out there that are listening, yeah, you can swing faster and speed helps and all that kind of stuff, but the biggest impact on distance is still hitting the ball square on the club face.
Yeah.
So you'll get another 10 yards, 15 yards if you're out there listening, if you can time your swing so that you're hitting it square. The reason those guys, they swing that hard, but we see it, as we were saying, goes off the planet because it's off-centered. It's high right. It's low left. It's all these things, but not in the middle. And when they do catch it right square in the middle at that speed, that's when they hit it 450, and it makes it crazy. But that's at that speed, it's really, really hard to do. The pros do that almost every time. We talked about it all the time, right? You look at a pros.
Jay Haas said it.
Clubs back in the 90s has like a little worn spot there, Paul, on your 7-iron because you hit it right there every time you hit your 7-iron, right? I mean, it's just,
Well, Jay Haas said it today, I believe, in an interview, or yesterday in an interview. He talked about, I tried to get a little extra distance, and he was hitting his hybrid and swinging down at it. And he said he would kind of dip down toward impact and then rise up on his left side to get more distance. He said, I found that if I just hit it solidly, if I don't try to jump at it, and I just swing through it, hit it in the perfect spot on the club face, it makes no difference. I get almost as much as I would if I had just come out of my shoes. So he said, my thing is about constant, consistent, solid impact. That's what he said.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, the thing is, too, those guys who want to hit it far, I got to hit it farther off the tee. Okay, say you pick up 10 yards.
Whippy.
All right, 10 yards sounds like a lot. I mean, but it's still, that's less than a full club into a green. So, I mean, just hit it in the middle of the fairway. Get it in play. Give yourself a chance. And that's, you know, obviously at the top level, you know, I'd much rather have wedges in my hand than 9-irons. I'd much rather have 9s than 8s. But, you know, getting the ball in play and having a 7-iron from a fairway versus a 9-iron from the rough, I think I'm going to do okay with that 7-iron. Giving up a little bit of accuracy, but you know, nowadays it seems like, you know, guys are just trying to hit it farther and farther and farther. And, you know, maybe I don't want to single Jordan out, but you know, maybe, and I'm just saying this, a big, maybe that was a part of his, you know, driving issues last year was, you know, trying to hit it a little bit farther and, you know, working out in the gym, getting stronger to hit it farther, to pick up a little more distance where, you know, some guys just hit it and go find it and go put it on the green and give yourself a chance. But far too many people are just trying to, the average golfer anyway, is trying to hit it so much farther that you're off the planet. Just have fun. Well, I played with a guy yesterday, a former Navy SEAL, and he broke his driver. He had his driver shaft was too soft, and it actually broke during a swing. So he had a 3-wood, but he couldn't hit it in the face. And so he would hit 5-iron. And he goes, if I hit this 5-iron, it goes 240. He goes, so a 400-yard hole, I'm going to have 160. He goes, that doesn't scare me. I'm like, dude, you're a Navy SEAL. Nothing should scare you. But But yeah, but so he just goes, you know what? I did the calculations, and I'd rather be 240 in the fairway than, you know, 340 in the backyard of some guy's house. So
which goes against, by the way, what guys like Koepka, right, Frank? We've talked about that. Yeah. Koepka's one of those guys. Now, of course, he's not going to put it in his backyard, though. but he's going to miss a fairway. But he said, yeah, I'd rather hit it 320 and be in the rough than hit it 290 and be in the fairway.
Well, so I said it several times. Thought.
Now, again, he's not far off the fairway.
Yeah. I said it several times last week. We had Ron Syrak on with us while we were at French Lick. You know, Ron follows women's golf everywhere. And my point was, for amateurs, and I want Paul to say yes or no to this, but if you want to emulate somebody, don't try to emulate Koepka or Rory McIlroy or DJ or Justin Thomas or whomever. Try to emulate some of the good women players who are so tempo-driven. Their swings are so smooth and so tempo, and their course management is impeccable. That's how they score, and if amateurs would do more of that, don't worry about the big ball, you know. Worry about where that ball lands, as Paul said. Put it in the fairway. Give yourself a chance. You know, par 4, 422-yard par 4, get it in the fairway with the 3-wood. If you can't get to the green from that shot, then lay it up in front of the green or to the left or to the right, whatever the angle dictates. Chip it up in one putt. You know, I mean, that's the women really manage their games extremely well.
Huh. Yeah, and always have. Our men just,
and that's
kinda,
for amateurs. What I'm saying, for amateurs, not people like Paul. I mean, Paul's a pro.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head, though. The word is manage, and I don't care what kind of game you have. If you learn to manage your game, you're going to be a little better. You're not. I mean, if you're a 25 handicapper, and you learn to manage your game, you're not going to be a scratch right away. But you could be, you know, an 18. You know, you could be a 15, and just learning to go, I'm going to take my lumps here. You missed a green short right, you're short-sided, you got a big old steep bunker face there. Heck, pitch it out sideways to the front part of the green and give yourself a putter in hand, even if you don't even hit the green. Give yourself an opportunity to putt, and you're going to two-putt from there most of the time. And now it just took you three to get down from green side behind a bunker versus trying to hit the hero shot, sculling it across the green in the other bunker up against the back. You're making nines on holes because you try to do too much. And you know, that's where I think golf instructing, I understand that, you know, if you have a very crummy golf swing and you can't hit a golf ball in the face, well, then go see your local PGA professional to get some tips on how to do it better. But then I also think that there ought to be more guys given game management lessons to those players that are pretty decent. You know, instead of going out there and getting you're a six handicap who can shoot between 77 and 87, and you go to an instructor, he's going to try to change your swing to fit his mold. And I'm like, you know, most of those six handicappers that are, you know, in their 40s aren't looking to be, you know, plus fives. They're looking to be, you know, a three. So how can you take three shots off your score, off your handicap, if you're a single digit handicap? Well, I think by learning how to manage your way around a golf course, more so than going and tinkering with your golf swing. You know what I mean? I mean, if you play the game long enough, if you've been playing since you were 15 years old and the best you are is a six, I don't care what teacher you go see, you're probably not going to get better initially. Right, you're probably going to get worse initially. Just go and figure out a way to be more efficient at what you're doing. And so I think that there should be more, you know, game management lessons. And I guess those are playing lessons, you know, which take more time and usually are more expensive. But I'm not dogging instruction. I think instruction is huge because far too many people have horrendous grips, posture, setup. You know, swing, like my thought, you watch a guy who's been playing golf for 15 years and he swings like, I don't know. I mean, obviously we have Jim Furyk's and Matthew Wolfe of the world that have funky golf swings at work. But if you're a local yokel on the range and you have a really ugly golf swing, my recommendation is take a video of your swing and then watch YouTube videos of tour players and kind of go like adopt one. Like if it's like, why is the ball all the way behind your right foot if you're a right-handed golfer? Why are you and why is your right hand like so? Like nobody does that. How are you expecting to be good if you do something that nobody on earth does?
Okay.
Anyway, that's so it can be pretty simple.
I adopt Adam Scott's swing. That's what I want.
That would be good, but you're not built like
face.
Adam Scott. Though,
no,
right?
I'm not. My wife wants me to adopt his face.
So you need to find somebody that your physique is similar to.
That's Bubba.
And then try to do that. Well,
I'm tall and skinny like Bubba.
Well, there you go. Then try to swing like Bubba.
Sure.
Good it starts with one. A pink head. Get you a pink head.
That's
and,
it. Pink shaft, pink driver head, yeah. No, it's.
Hey, we're joined, by the way, with Paul Stankowski with PGA Tour Radio, and Paul's getting ready to go play a little golf today, and also telling us about getting ready for the Senior Tour. But before we let you go, Paul, I do want to know the Zozo Championship is the next stop on the PGA Tour. We talked about it earlier in the show in Japan, and Zozo is a company not too many people around here know about, but it's a conglomerate that has apparel, that also is a technology company and whatnot, but. Tiger's going to be there. Rory going to have a pretty good field there. Are you excited? Are you looking forward to seeing some of these guys coming back into play? It seems like it's been a couple of months now, literally since Atlanta, that we've seen some of these guys playing some golf. Are you excited to see Tiger back in action this weekend?
Yeah, of course. I mean, golf is fun. And it's fun to watch the best of the best do it. And, but what I'm more excited about, so I played in the U.S. Japan All-Star matches in college. My freshman year, I finished top six underclassmen at the NCAAs, got to play against the top six Japanese players. And I was fortunate enough to be on that team. David Toms, Barry Fabian, Jeff Hole. There were some guys, obviously you've heard of David Toms, and a few guys played on the PGA Tour as well. And, but I was an 18-year-old kid, and we played Narashino Country Club. So I'm curious if I don't know if there's two courses there, but I remember the golf course had two sets of greens, and that's what they're talking about. So each hole had two greens. One was like they were each had different grasses on them, from what I remember. Now, obviously, that was 30 years ago.
That's still the same. Still the same.
But yeah. I think it's the exact same golf course. It was outside Chiba, Japan. And so I'm kind of curious to watch that to see if it is the same and if some of these holes bring back any memories. Because that was a fun, impressionable time as an 18-year-old to get to go to Japan and play. So, I'm excited to watch Tiger and the boys take on this course. And two, I'm kind of excited to see the course. It's a little bit of, you know, my history in there. I didn't win a tournament or anything, but that was a kind of a neat to play for your country. I've done it once in my life, and
that's cool.
Never get to do it again.
Well, the Olympics are coming up too. And by the way, as we move on, I want to make sure that we give some props to we call him Fabio. Kyle Berkshire was the 2019 World Long Drive champion that has the long locks of hair behind him. So congratulations to Kyle for winning that. We're gonna see Tiger and Justin and all these guys playing. And Rory talked about the Olympics. Of course, that's next summer. We got golf again in the Olympics, and he says that he's excited to compete in the Olympics and do it for his country for Northern Ireland and
Ireland. I think Ireland. Period.
Or Ireland. I guess he's Ireland. Yeah, he's Ireland. Yeah. And we'll see who comes out of the U.S. to compete in that as well. That'll be in Japan at a different golf course there too. So it's becoming very, very international, Paul. Golf has, and it kind of was. I mean, you got to play in Japan 30 years ago, so it's kind of getting that same position. But it is kind of neat to see these guys going all over the world, and Tiger's been doing it for a long, long time. But now you're getting actual PGA Tour events that are international, which I think is really pretty cool. I mean, there's so many golfers. People keep talking about when's the country of China going to produce, because they have so many people that are trying to play golf and trying to do great in the Olympics. Will there be a great Chinese golfer that's going to come out and kind of be the next Tiger Woods? We haven't seen it yet, but it might be on the horizon. But golf is definitely worldwide now, isn't it, Paul?
Oh, there's no doubt. And we've seen that now over the last 20 years, like you say, increasing more and more. It's obviously very prevalent on the LPGA Tour. But gaining on the PGA Tour, if you look at every week, just look at the top 125 from last year's FedEx Cup point list, and it's chock full of players from all over this this big old round ball called Earth. And
big marble.
I think it's great. I think it's great. You know, lots of talent around the world. Remember, the golf ball doesn't know who you are, where you came from, if you grew up rich, poor, white, black, round, tall, and skinny. It doesn't matter, male, female. It just goes where you tell it to go. And, you know, more and more players are doing some great talking with their clubs, and they're getting good. And I think it's fun. I love the product right now. I don't care. Like I say, I don't care. I'll watch ladies golf, men's golf. You know, it doesn't matter. I enjoy good golf and it's fun. Junior golf, this college golf is a lot of fun to watch. I'm glad we're getting more and more looks at the boys in the NCAA as well on TV. And it's fun. Good golf is exciting. And you know, it used to put me to sleep because I used to love listening to the announcers. I would doze off, and every now and then someone would make a putt. I'm like, oh, great. But now, I mean, I think it's electric. Tiger obviously brought a cool element to the game. You know, in each generation, it does shift a little bit. You know, I think, you know, the bell bottoms, the plaid bell bottoms that Johnny Miller used to wear, all the fancy colors. I think that probably was kind of cool at times, but it seems like everything, you know, Ricky came out and he had this flat bill going and the long hair. So it seems like every five to 10 years, there's another something that's coming out that is creating a little more excitement with different people. And, you know, I think it's fun, and golf is there again. It doesn't know. It's a game that historically has been an expensive game to play for some. But you don't have to grow up on a you know, country club. You know, I grew up on a 9-hole military golf course, you know, Navy course. And, you know, now with the first tee, I think that's almost 20 years old. Maybe it is 20 years old. You're seeing people from all different walks of life playing this game of golf. And I think it's great.
Yeah, it's growing by leaps and bounds. And I think catching the imagination. You saw on the PGA Tour, Frank, what do we have? Back-to-back South American winners, right?
Yes, absolutely.
2 weeks back.
You know, Paul just made a great comment about growing up on a military golf course. And, of course, we were at the Greenbrier for a military tribute at the Greenbrier and got to meet with a lot of military folks from generals and admirals all the way down.
Yeah,
and we talked about military golf courses. One of my favorites that I played in Tampa, although I was a member of a country club in Tampa, I played down on the base at MacDill all the time because the South course at MacDill, Paul and Tim, is built along the ocean. It's just absolutely gorgeous. The course up in Jacksonville at Mayport, the naval base there, golf course same way, built out on the water. There are a lot of nice military golf courses, and what people don't realize is civilians can play those golf courses with the proper clearances. So if you're out there, and I would...
Well, that counts me out.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can't do it. The charges are still...
Those charges, the government does own some nice real estate, don't they?
They do, and they have some great courses. I mean, we're going to be doing... I'm spinning off on something here, and I'll shut up, but we're going to be doing something on Memorial Day with the military in Washington, D.C., and we'll have a golf tournament, so we'll talk more about that at future shows. But we are committed to working with the military in 2020 to do some shows from some of their golf courses, as well as do a super show with Gary Sinise, will be with us in Washington. So that'll be cool.
You know, one of the best ambassadors for golf is Clint Eastwood, the actor and producer and director and all that. He grew up at Fort Ord. He was stationed at Fort Ord and outside of Carmel there in Monterey. And that's where he learned to play golf and fell in love with golf at Fort Ord back in the day. And still not a bad spot to be playing some golf. So, yeah, but that's Paul's neck of the woods. All on California, there's some great military bases, just some great municipal courses too, Paul. Right? You're right. You don't have to be in a fancy country club. There's some great munis all over California.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. And I think it's great. It's great. Hey, boys, I'm in my car now, so you might get a little car traffic because I got to head over from Flower Mound down to Arlington, and I waited long enough, but you guys kept talking. Oh, I thought you forgot about me for a second.
Kept talking. It was all
How
us.
Could we forget about you, Paul? We love you, pal.
All right.
I always love
go play golf at the
guys,
Rangers.
Yes, I'm going to go play some golf and have some fun with the boys. It's going to be windy, so I got to figure out a way to hit the low ball, which is good. That's North Texas. We get a lot of days in October that are beautiful, but we do get some, you know, the
one's on its way in, and today is the precursor to another front coming through that is going to wash more rye overseed off of my front yard, which is driving me crazy. So anyway, it's going to be a good day.
All right.
Play well.
Paul,
have
thanks
fun,
so much
buddy.
For your time. We appreciate it. Play good today, okay?
Thanks, boys.
All right.
Appreciate you.
See
all
you
right.
soon.
Take care. All right. Paul Stankowski, PGA Tour Radio, on his way to Texas Rangers Golf Course.
Texas Rangers. Yeah, I'm dead serious about those military courses. I've played some great military golf courses. I mean, just great golf courses.
So, but I'm serious, too, that they have, I mean, the best real estate in the country is owned by the U.S. government. So,
oh, sure.
I mean, there's what's the course up in San Francisco, Frank? That the Presidio?
Presidio.
Presidio
yeah,
that's
Presidio.
Right there?
Right there on the bay.
I mean, I haven't played it, but I've walked near it because I was in that area. So I was walking around on the golf course. It's a municipal
beautiful.
Golf course.
Beautiful.
And it's part of the base there that's, I think, been decommissioned or whatever it is. But you look out and you see the Pacific Ocean. I mean, you know, it's unbelievable real estate. And I think if you live in San Francisco, it costs you like $62 to play there.
Yeah, something silly. Something.
I mean,
silly
it's
cheap.
Nuts. Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's why we love. That's one more reason why we.
Well, you know,
we're hoping to get on a good golf course.
We wish our friend Stanky all the best. PGA Tour Champions is the toughest ticket, 5 spots. And
that's competitive,
all
isn't it?
Oh my God, it's ridiculously difficult to get on
guys.
That tour. Yeah, ridiculous. Yeah.
They're all trying to get.
You know what kills me? We go to our respective clubs, our respective Club Corp clubs, I should say, and ClubCorp.com, by the way. And like the club champions, you hear it all the time. Oh, yeah, well, you know, he's like a scratch golfer. He's scratch. Okay. Yeah, I'll be turning 50 in about a year, and I'm going to start getting ready. I'm going to try to get Right.
Here you are.
Good ruck, Homer.
Yeah.
Ain't happening. Ain't
because
happening.
Because what it is, Frank, it's like Tony Romo, right? And nothing against Tony Romo, but we see that Tony Romo is a great. I mean, I think
very
here in Dallas he's a +1, +2. Very good golfer.
Yeah,
where he plays for the people out there, the millions of people that play golf that aren't professionals. He's a very very good golfer, but there is a distinctive line, kind of like saying you and I with a Nerf ball, Frank, in our backyards.
Yeah,
we are really good football players.
Oh,
but we're
awesome.
Not NFL players. but against my neighbors,
I don't use a Nerf
ball,
but I use a New England Patriots deflated ball myself personally. But that's
there you go.
Point.
Yeah.
Just kidding, boys.
So that's kind of the same. That's kind of the same thing, right? Tony Romo can't make a cut when he plays on a PGA Tour event, much less obviously compete or win tournaments. And it's the same thing, you know. Paul, you know, and those guys. This is what they've always done since they were 15 years old. And even though Paul took a little bit of a break, so even to be a club champion, to be a guy that, you know, works in insurance or does whatever, even if you're retired and do whatever you do, and play a lot of golf, it's still a world of difference between actually playing on the tour, because all those guys on the tour, if you're Champions Tour, are still guys like Greg Norman and Bernhard Langer and Jimenez. I mean, they are great professional golfers. They're not just guys that, you know, played well at their local clubs.
Jerry Kelly,
so,
Scotty McCarron. I mean, and Langer
and
still
it's,
is
a lot of it's between your
anomaly.
Ears. I get a lot of it's between your ears, right, Frank? I mean,
sure
a lot
is.
Of guys can play really good golf, but now all of a sudden you're on a tee box and you're standing next to David Toms or Bernhard Langer or Scotty McCarron or whoever. Now you got to be like, you know,
well,
get Art Selinger back on to tell us about his stories when you play with the professionals, and now you just, your body shuts down. It gets between your ears like, oh, my God, what am I doing here?
There are multiple types of golf, but you can boil it down to two types of golf. Golf and tournament golf. Tournament golf is hugely different than just playing in your club championship or playing in a regional championship. Hugely different.
Yeah.
Yeah, tournament golf. Bobby Jones said that best. I'm retiring from tournament golf. He didn't retire from golf, but he did retire from tournament golf.
It's even different, Frank, if you and I play golf just as regular guys that play golf with your friends, and then you get into a club championship or an actual tournament
where
you're keeping a score and you're playing with different guys and you can't, you know, roll your ball an inch or two here. And all the different – it changes. Suddenly, you know, if you're really into that – elite kind of, it's even that level.
We had a good time, you know,
playing with your
this
buddies,
year
you know?
In Chicago, playing golf together. That was fun up there.
Yeah.
We played some decent or good golf. I played some of the best golf I've played, by the way, at French Lick last week. We played on the Donald Ross course, and I think I shot a 1 over on the front nine. Best I've ever done on that golf course. That's a very difficult golf course.
Yeah,
ended up shooting like 4 over on the back, but But that's a tough course. It's a Donald Ross course, and it's a course in 1924 where Hagen won the PGA Championship. So,
yeah.
But it brings you back.
Playing with your friends was different.
Playing with my friends. Matthew Lawrence was with me, our friend who's the actor. Yeah. Remember? And Brendan Sweeney, of course, French Lick Resort was with us, and John Ashton from Those Weekend Golf Guys, and Brad Moretz, who is the one of the directors at Riley Hospital for Children in Indiana. So, yeah, and so we were having fun. And, you know, if somebody hit a bad shot, it was OB or whatever, just drop another, just drop a ball and hit it, you know, just play.
Yeah,
just have
it's a different mindset, right?
Then you get out there.
Hey, what are you doing right there? What'd you watch that? All of a sudden, everything's being watched. Everything's being checked. Changes.
It's more pressure when Slugger White's walking down the fairway with you.
Yeah.
And you see guys in shirts and ties that say PGA Tour rules. Yep. Okay.
Speaking of rules, before we go, and I can't remember her name, but while you're at French Lick, one of the women playing in the senior LPGA,
Miss Walker,
was not up to date with all the rules, and which is a fairly new rule where the caddy can't stand behind you when you putt.
Line you she up didn't and then stay there. Yeah.
Remember that? And she got penalized like nobody's business for both her first two rounds, right? Didn't she shoot?
Well, first
she shot like in the 70s or 80s, but then they added
80s,
seriously, like 40 strokes or 30 strokes.
Originally
in the next
it was 48
round.
She ended strokes, up like with a, but originally over 50 plus strokes,
So her actual score is like 124.
Yeah,
it was first round or something like that.
You know, it got a lot of publicity on Twitter and Facebook for the French
Lick
Resort.
It sure did.
And for the rules of golf. But we broke that story, by the way, on Golf Talk America. And I felt for her. I mean, I talked to her after the round. She said, actually, you know what she said? This is interesting. She said, well, Frank, I, you know, messed up. My fault. It's on me. And she called it on herself. But she said, you know what? I said, well, that's a terror. That's a catastrophe. She said, no. She said, it isn't. You know what's a catastrophe? If people don't donate and take care of the children at Riley's Hospital for Children, which was the benefactor of that tournament. That comment alone made my week because she'd had one of the worst days she's ever had in her life on the golf course as an amateur or professional. Yet she gave kudos, and the reason for being there was Riley's Hospital for Children. That's pretty strong.
Put it in perspective.
And Laurie Kane did the same thing. Laurie Kane on the first day, first round, number one, Pete Dykhorst tees off, proceeds to take an 11 on number one. An 11.
Wow.
And then she steadies up some birdies, some pars, and then takes another 11 on 14. And she said the same thing. She said, I said, how'd you keep going? She said, I kept going because I knew it was for the kids.
Yeah.
That just made my week last week. Good. It really, really did.
Very cool.
So
very nice.
Cool stuff.
But to show you, those rules can catch up with you, Frank.
Oh those rules will tear you up.
That's why I never pay attention to them.
Yes, you do. Don't say that. Yes, you do.
Don't mess with those.
Yes, you do.
Don't even mess with them.
We dropped a couple extra balls in Chicago, but that's beside the point. So
that's beside it.
That's
fun.
It was fun with Stanky today, though.
It
was fun.
Have fun. It was fun. It was. All right, we are out of time. Thanks, everybody, for listening to us. Thank you, as always, to Club Corp, our big title sponsor here. Go to clubcorp.com to find out more and also find out what course is near you that you can go and be a member for a day. And check out Club Corp, because when you're a member at one course, you're a member at all the courses and get great deals and exclusive golf all over the country at different Club Corp facilities. Again, clubcorp.com is the website to check out. Thanks, everybody, for listening. As always, thank you, Frank Bassett and Paul Stankowski, for joining us. I'm Tim Matthews, and please remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.